You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges. Pleased to be with you for the next 3 hours. We've got a terrific show for you. First hour, as you've become accustomed to, is the Hagman and Hodges News Hour. And we're going to be discussing Manchester and a whole bunch of other stuff. Second hour is Dr. Ted Brower, and we're going to have a lot on the table there. We're going to cover a variety of topics. And then we'll also talk about how to get healthy. And this is something that you're really going to need to pay attention to, because we could be without services pretty quick and pretty long. And I'll address that in just a moment. Third hour, I caught up with Steve Quayle a couple days ago. And we did a podcast, and we're going to play that here tonight in its entirety, and it's eye-opening. And those who like to link biblical scripture to what's going on today, you will not be disappointed in this interview. Steve gives a clinic on how to do this. Well, a couple of things, just a couple of show notes real quick here before I jump into who's sponsoring us. We are really on the trail of child sex trafficking, and the Seth Rich murder is really at the center of it. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is definitely complicit in the death of Seth Rich. And I said complicit, didn't say she pulled the trigger. And I have those articles where I've addressed this up on the commonsenseshow.com. I'd encourage you to visit it. I'd also encourage you to visit YouTube. And we found, here, get the little tickle in the throat here, but we have found a way on YouTube to really restore some of our lost revenue. And we were on the verge of cutting our newsletter because of declining revenue that was coming in. And what I asked the YouTube people to do, and if you visit, they're going to ask you to do the same thing. Use the two-browser approach. People open the first browser when the occasional ad from the fake boycott of YouTube is playing. And just turn that sound down if you don't want to see the ads, nothing that interests you. And just let it play to its entirety, because we only get paid if it plays to the end. And then open that second browser and then listen to the broadcast, where we're doing 5, 6, 7, 8 items a day of current events variety. And it's really made a difference in our revenue. We're not cutting expenses at the moment, as long as we can maintain that. Of course, I'm waiting for the Googleites from the left to catch up to us and come back with their own strategy. But for right now, that's what we would be asking all of you to do. Well, let's talk about who brings this show to you and who makes it possible. First of all, there's my good friend Steve Quayle, who will be hearing in the third hour. And the interview is lengthy, so we're not going to have time for introducing what he does. So I want to do it right here. Steve converts soon-to-be worthless cash. Heed my warning. Soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals that'll hold its value. Give Steve a call tomorrow, 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. And one of the trends that we've all been talking about, people have stopped, at least to some degree, prepping. And that's the worst thing you could do. The fact that we elected Donald Trump means you need to prep more because of what they're going to poll. There's going to be major false flags in this country. Really? Where's the proof, Dave? How about looking across the pond? Do you think we're immune? That is so naive to believe that. And when you have the just-in-time disruptions that come, and you're not getting your 6 deliveries to your favorite supermarket per day, what are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you what you do. You better prep. You better have water filtration. You better have a way to defend yourself. You better have communications. As Paul Martin says, when it hits, where you're at. So where are you going to stay? And for that, we use readymaderesources.com. And I'd encourage you to give, Bob Griswold a call after the show, 1-800-627-3809. Boy, how do you like them apples? Anyway, I would once again say ReadyMade Resources, 1-800-627-3809. And then speaking of prepping, gold, guns, food, water, ammo, communications, medicine. And you need to protect yourself. You need to protect your family. And I've got a long association with Numana Foods, and we can help you with the food. Go to numana.com/Hodges. Find out why Mike Adams, the health ranger, when he did his comparison test, said, hey, everything about Numana is superior to every other food company. Not knocking other food companies. There's many fine vendors out there. But if you do not have your family protected at this point, yesterday was the day to start. That's numana.com/Hodges. And use the promo code Hodges, NOV5, to take 5% off. And then finally, my wife and I are taking a course from Bob Kudla, and he's our resident economic expert, called the Trade Genius Trading Academy. And we have about one more day left on this offer where he's taking 50% off Common Sense Show listeners. And simply put, it's just the easiest thing you can do is to simply go to his site and use the coupon code MAKEMONEY. Make money. And we're talking about TradeGeniusAcademy.com, promo code make money, 50% off through June the 5th. And learn to do what Bob does. I mean, he's not going to go do it for you anymore. Well, he will if you ask him. But then there'll be a broker's fee. He wants to teach you how to do this yourself. And the Hodgeses are doing that themselves. Of course, I'm going to defer to my wife because she's the only one in the family that's ever managed tens of millions of dollars of a budget for a business. And I'm telling you, folks, this is the way to go. Where there's a downside, there's always an upside. And I would encourage you to go to TradeGeniusAcademy.com and sign up. Okay, now, on to the show. We're fortunate enough to have Joe Hagman with us. And Joe has been kind enough to come on despite the fact that his mom has suffered a health setback. We're happy to report she's doing much better and expects to come home in a couple of days from the hospital. So please keep Joe's mom in your prayers. But we're going to hit a whole host of topics. But Joe, before we get started, can you give us an update on how your mom's doing?
Yeah, and Dave, thanks for having me on. She's recovering, doing much better, still in the hospital. There was a stomach issue she had, an intestinal issue she had, and it was an emergency on Tuesday. And it turned into emergency surgery Tuesday evening, early Wednesday morning. And she's been doing really well after the procedure. I mean, it's a tough thing to go through, and it's going to be a while. The recovery is going to be a while, but you know, she is doing better. She's been moving around, and want to thank everybody for all the prayers and the support.
Well, she's in our prayers now. Now that we've found out this happened, I've been in a cocoon for the last 3 days and have been wrapped up with a lot of activities. I just found out today about what's going on, and I'm glad to hear that she's doing better, and we certainly pray for a very quick and very complete recovery. Well, Joe, I had to go back and look at some of your archives and listen to some, because like I said, I've been really out of touch for the better part of 3 or 4 days, and you guys have been busy. The Hagman & Hagman Report's been really busy. What's number one on your radar right now?
Well, you know, we're in the Islamic holiday of Ramadan, and we have, you know, the latest in the European terror attacks in London yesterday evening, where I believe it is at seven people killed, over 45 injured, as three Islamic terrorists carried out a multi-pronged terror attack, if you want to call it that, by one driving a car in London, mowing down a number of people, some say up to 20 people, and then getting out of the car and going into the pubs and shopping districts and stabbing, and as reports say, they were cutting people's throats and stabbing them before the officers, which apparently had a great response time of only 8 minutes from when the first calls came in until when they put these guys down. These counterterrorism police officers fired 50 shots at the three men, killing the three men and injuring, as reports, as many as one, maybe two bystanders in the process. But the again, another terror attack, this on the heels of the Manchester attack just a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago Monday. And they actually just held a benefit concert for the terror attacks in Manchester. The concert, I believe, was either Friday night or last night in Manchester or the surrounding area. And then, you know, at the same time, pretty much, we have this latest terror attack. And, Dave, you said you haven't seen much news. I want to give people a little bit of an inside thing of what's going on. It just broke on Drudge, but this is something that I was following from a message board online. CNN was caught creating some fake news in London, and not only that, the AP and also the BBC and many other outlets have used this fake story. Now, there's one from the BBC Newsbeat: "Turn to Love: Message from Muslims After London Bridge Attack," and there's a picture of about 15. People appearing to be Muslim holding signs with the hashtag "Turn to Love" and then "For London." Well, there is video that has been released showing CNN not documenting, you know, this news event in London that some Muslims are protesting the latest terror attacks. Instead, there is video where they were actually caught putting these people in the positions where they were going to be and giving them the signs that they have. Basically setting it up from a stage, you know, to putting these people where they wanted each person, even changing out the police officers in the stage photograph, from two white men to two Asian men. And, this is being, you know, pushed around the world with this terrorism narrative that, you know, the Muslims are not quiet in the face of terror. They are, in fact, against the terror attacks. But, in fact, this is a stage event put together by CNN and picked up by the AP, BBC, and a number of national and international news outlets. So, more terror in London, and more lying from the news media, which is, sadly, no surprise anymore. We see the amount of ridiculous content that they actually create that is not based on any fact or reality. It is to push a narrative, and this is just another example, a sad example, on the heels of another devastating terror attack, of what they can do.
And what, excuse me, what they can do is indeed correct. And I did see this story, when talking about CNN, cross my email this morning, Joe. And I think we ought to refer to CNN as the division of the CIA, because that's who controls them. And no different than the Washington Post, and I documented a few months ago about the CIA and Washington Post and a $600 million deal. So the CIA is attempting to take over as much of the mainstream media as they can get their hands on. And of course, we know that through them and Hillary Clinton, they created ISIS. So should we be surprised they're creating a false narrative? And Joe, let me get you a response to this. I wrote an article right after the first Manchester attack in the concert, and I called out the Center for American Islamic Relations, CARE for short, and I told them, very pointedly, I said, unless you people come out in the most overt way, in the strongest of language, and condemn these attacks, and call for justice, and then call for people of your faith to pray for peace, pray for goodwill, then you are no more than a terrorist organization that facilitates terrorism. Have you seen any such thing from CARE or any other major Islamic organization that is making these bold proclamations that this insanity needs to stop?
No, you don't see that. And, you know, not surprisingly, these agencies or organizations like CARE are often complicit in how to, you know, generate these false narratives, or complicit in, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a consultant from CARE on, you know, how to best make it look as though people, especially Muslims, were protesting the attacks. And I think it's because of calls from people like you and others who say, you know, these people need to come out. Those who are not violent Islamists, but do follow, you know, the Islam, need to come out and condemn these acts of violence. And we've heard a lot of that over the last few weeks. So I don't know if we will see that, but we're definitely seeing them attempt to make it look like Muslims are sorry for the violent sect of their religion that is causing all this. But we won't see that. I don't believe we will, because we know, you know, from just in on our show, and I'm sure on your show as well, from having multiple guests on who have studied Islam and have become experts on it, we know that the tactics that they use, which is, you know, the jihad, which is the violence, and they continue to be able to lie under the color of their religion to further, you know, their ability to create violence and to make people submit to their will. And as long as they're allowed to, you know, to lie for their faith, you can't really, and as long as that's part of the fundamentals of their religion, how can that coexist with inside any society? You know, it's a religion or a cult of conquest. It has no, there isn't, when they say Islam is peace, they might believe that after everybody submits to Islam or is you know, taken out, then it might be peaceful. But as long as there are what they call infidels, people who are not of the Muslim faith, there can never be peace from their own religious texts.
Could not agree with you more. And in fact, beheadings was a topic that I let come into my writing this week when I talked about the uptick in ancillary FEMA camp facilities. We're seeing evidence of more and more possible and potential mall conversions owned by Simon Properties. They've done the deal with DHS saying you can use this, you know, things are bad. And we're seeing these guard towers I first reported on 2 years ago. And we're seeing an uptick in that all across the country. In fact, my email gets inundated with this stuff, Joe. It's absolutely incredible. But I believe that if we do ever get to that point and the deep state totally takes over, we are going to have a problem. I want you to listen to this email that was sent to me, keeping radical Islamic behavior in the forefront. This is from a nurse, and she's asked me to withhold her name. And she said, "Hi, Dave. I couldn't believe it, but I verified with our hospital billing department that the billing code for death by guillotine is ICD-9-E978. The code would be used for jails billing the feds for services rendered." That's chilling. And then if you look into the, the Quran, are you aware of all the references to beheading?
Yeah, I'm aware of them. I couldn't tell you exactly what they say or where they are, but you know, we've had experts.
Well, let me just give you this one thing here, Joe. Let me just give you this one thing, because this tells you how far this could go. FM 39.4, which is an Army field manual talking about the maintenance and facilitation of FEMA camps, and we've all reported on that. They talk about using foreigners in the camps. But listen to this straight from the Quran. From Surah, chapter 47, contains the words, "When you encounter the unbelievers," Surah 8, verse 26, "he and his fellow followers beheaded opponents, Christians and Muslims alike. I will cast the dread into the hearts of the caliphates and will behead tens of thousands of Christians." Now that's right out of the Quran. Sorry, I couldn't make this up. I wouldn't even know what Surah 8 is because I've never studied the religion. But Joe, there it is. We have FM 39.4 saying they're going to use foreign people in these FEMA camps. And then we have this right here. And we know CIA controls ISIS. Am I going too far in the dot connecting, or do you see where I'm going with this?
No, I mean, I absolutely see where you're going with that. You know, there are the guillotines are something that some states have been trying to bring back to actually replace whatever system of death penalty they have currently. You know, there's been a big pushback to the lethal injections. But the document that you're referring to is the internment and resettlement operations. And I studied that document, and not only, I mean, there's some disturbing stuff in there. The foreign troops, being able to guard local or national, internment or detention camps is pretty startling. But they also, in that same document, they talk about how religion will be practiced in these camps, specifically Christianity, and how many fundamental Christians would not want to follow the teachings that are inside those camps because they are a watered down version of what is a more publicly accepted version of the religion. And I mean, that's a very disturbing document indeed, and it's been around for a number of years now. You know, and we often wonder how will this be applied and when will this be applied. And you know, that's a any time that we're facing any type of, you know, societal collapse, or I don't know how a natural disaster would do that on a national scale, but economic collapse, any type of societal interruption, or a war, it could be a number of things. Even this is from the political unrest we've seen in this country as of late. So it is very concerning, yet it's also far away from us because none of us, not many Americans see a way that how we would get to there unless you're paying attention.
A few years ago, I did a telephonic interview with Pastor Walter Mansfeld, and he had gone through the clergy response team training, and they actually told them they could not quote from the Bible. And so I went and looked this up to verify, you know, what Pastor Walter was telling me. And sure enough, it says right here that people will go through a crisis of faith, some mention God and Scripture, but this may not be helpful. As we all know, and this is directly from DHS, as we all know, the Scripture has been used to oppress, dominate, and at the same time be used for healing and reconciliation. So therefore, we are making suggestions for the following statements in helping healing of victims and not to uphold pastoral authority. And let me just give you two things they say. Well, God must have needed him if you lose someone in the death camps. More than you. God never gives us more than we can handle. God helps those who help themselves, which is not biblical, by the way. This is all in there, Joe. And then they go through Romans 13, you know, give unto, render unto Caesar what is Caesar. In other words, do what the corrupt, illegal government tells you to do. And this is what these pastors were trained to do. And Pastor Mansfeld says, I'm out of here. This is enough. And he violated his non-disclosure agreement and started doing interviews on this, much to his credit. So, Joe, you're right on the money with what you're saying here. And if people don't think this could happen, Joe, I'm telling you, as God is my witness, my mailbox, because I've broached this subject so many times, is filled with pictures of malls with guard towers. And I've gone to architects and I've said, please tell me what this is about. Make sense out of this for me from a business sense. And to a person, they tell me, pretty much, they don't want to go public because they want to keep getting contracts. But what they tell me, this is not aesthetic. It's not practical, it's expensive, and it serves no purpose other than probably what you're suggesting, Dave, which is these are guard towers. Crazy, Joe. Absolutely insane if the deep state ever takes over. This is what I expect we'll see.
Yeah, well, we've already seen, you know, examples in the last 100 years of history where governments and societies have devolved into that that type of corruption and tyranny and oppression. And, you know, even, obviously this is not the same as, you know, Nazi Germany or China under, you know, Mao, but we saw the internment after World War II of the many Japanese Americans. And obviously, again, that's not the same as, you know, seeing people rounded up in camps for, you know, with the amount of suppression and planning that we've seen them put into this. But yeah, just imagine how many people would willingly go if told to by, you know, some type of authority figure, whether it be a police or even a man of a government agency, even the post office. Our society, sadly, is ripe, as we see for the delusion that we are under, that many are under, and there's many forms and levels of it, but
not just delusion, Joe, but denial.
Oh, yeah.
Our people are in such denial. Let me read to you one more thing before we move on to your next topic, because it fits right into what we're talking about. People say, well, Dave, what does the Bible say? Obviously, the Bible would say something, and then they get into this questioning and mocking, you know, condescension kind of communication to me. Like, this can't be true. We don't care what the Muslims say. Well, how about Revelations 24? Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead or on their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So there you have it, right there, right out of Revelations 24. It tells you beheadings of Christians is going to take place.
Yeah, I mean, and even in Scripture, we're told about what will happen to Christians, and you know, for American Christians who think that it can't happen here, it's happened everywhere else in the world, and it still happens in you know, the Middle East and in many other places. And it's interesting how the persecution aspect in Christianity, specifically of the end times, lines up with Islam. You know, there are many like Waleed Chobot and others who make the case that, you know, Islam is the Antichrist, or you know, the false prophet, whatever that may be. And you know, some people think it's a Catholic Church, and there's a whole theological discussion on all this. But Islam, oddly enough, when I first heard Mr. Chobot talk about that, I thought, you know, I don't know, I can't really see it. And I was younger, and you know, here we are about 8 years later, and we see how it does fit. You know, it's a religion that targets specifically Christianity, you know, first, before other non-believers, specifically in the Middle East. So it does, the ideology does line up, and, you know, the beheading aspect does line up in the Bible. It talks about not only all who believe in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but it talks about the end times when believers would be beheaded for their faith, specifically beheaded for their faith. So, you know, that lines up with the talking about the guillotines, not only that, but also the, you know, Islam continuing to spread in popularity somehow, even in this country.
That's really well said, and it's not my intention to go after Muslims as a whole. But the fact that major Muslim organizations that tout themselves as peaceful representatives of the people will not decry Manchester and other acts of terrorism, you know, makes me question, you know, really where these people's hearts are at and just how evil they might be. And Joe, let me ask you this question. Let's put the shoe on the other foot. If we had a sect of Christianity, let's say it was the Episcopalians and the Lutherans, and I was raised a Lutheran, so I can say this, and they were beheading Muslims, and they were behaving much in the same way as ISIS and other radical groups are behaving, would we have a responsibility, Joe, as Christians and Christian organizations, to call them out and demand for them to stop?
Oh, absolutely. We would have a responsibility. We would have a duty, both in our faith and in our just from our constitutional government, from that standpoint. But, you know, from the faith, absolutely we would. And it's amazing to me, you know, to see this. What just shocks me, and I guess it shouldn't surprise me anymore, is not that we see these terrorist attacks being carried out, because I guess now this is just expected. That's a sad thing to say, but it has become, you know, trendy somehow with these Muslim nations and these followers of Islam. And my dad will always say that those who are not carrying out acts of terror are apostate Muslims. But, you know, that's another conversation. But, you know,
interesting.
It's not that we see these terrorist attacks that's surprising. It's that we see the left and the media and these people instantly start defending the terrorist when it happens. And the news media continues to promote you know, that, oh, Muslims are peaceful, and how dare you say we should vet them before bringing them over here? You're racist. This is what surprises me, and how they get away with this, and how anybody still even watches this crap, aside for purposes of purely entertainment. It makes no sense to me.
It doesn't to me either, and here Donald Trump responds very factually to the events in Manchester, and he's being vilified by Western leaders. And, of course, they've allowed their countries to be overrun with thugs, other criminals that murder, rape, pillage. I mean, Germany's gone. France is almost gone. Sweden's gone. And if we don't get Trump the ability to do what he needs to do, which is to vet, not ban, but vet people coming into the country, soon America's going to be gone. You know, Joe, we seem to have this belief. People stop prepping, and what's going on in Manchester, England, it could never happen here. What would you say to those people?
Well, it already has happened here. It has happened here, and it will continue to happen here as long as we, you know, don't as long as we allow continue to bring terrorists into this country, and you know, have the open doors with no questions asked, and we pander to you know, these violent extremists. And you know, a few interesting things that came out of London last night. At first, there were reports that it was for it being such a big terror event, it was something that we haven't seen a lot of footage from. I mean, I've seen a little pieces here and there of, you know, they have the terrorists and they have some pictures, but with and I'm sure that there's reasons for this. They say they haven't released some of the names of the terrorists because they've already arrested 12 more people and the networks that they're looking into. But Trump started to see this unfold, I think, before some of the news organizations did, and started to issue a tweet about it or put out a tweet. And NBC News actually shut down one of the tweets that Trump said when this was developing, when this terror attack was a developing story, because he used it as an opportunity to renew calls for the travel ban. And Drudge put out a tweet, fears of a new terror attack after van mows down 20 people on London Bridge, and Trump retweeted that. NBC News came out and tweeted the following: President Trump has used Twitter to share new news reports on London incident. We aren't relaying the president's retweet as the info is unconfirmed. And then you see there's a CNN host that called Trump a piece of, you know, crap, but he used the expletive. And this is just as this terror attack is unfolding, because the president used his this as a reason to restate the case for the travel ban and the expanding the vetting that is done to those who are entering our country from specific Muslim nations, where the, you know, concentration of this violence seems to come from. So at any opportunity, and we saw this also with this week, I want to make sure we talk about this a little bit, the Paris Climate Accord that, I believe it was Wednesday or Thursday, that Donald Trump says he was not going to allow the U.S. to become part of this international agreement, this treaty, which was a treaty on climate change that was brokered under Obama and that was never ratified, nor was it set to start until 2020. But we saw, you know, this hysteria from the media. And folks, if you go to HagmanReport.com, there's a great video. I posted it yesterday, and it's just, the title is Media, We Are All Going to Die. And it's amazing, this reaction from the media to Donald Trump pulling out of the Paris deal, an agreement that had 195 nations signed into it. And it's a compilation video of all these different pundits from different news outlets basically stating, because Trump's decision to withdraw from the Paris Climate Accord, that we're entering a climate apocalypse, and, you know, the seawater levels are going to drown people, you know, people are going to be dying left and right, bigger hurricanes than we've ever seen. I mean, the hysteria, or what people call the Trump derangement syndrome, is just it's staggering. It's reached new levels. And I'm starting to believe that the media is doing this for entertainment purposes or for the purposes of brainwashing, but they're doing it not believing. I don't think they can be that stupid to believe what they're saying and do so, you know, so unified from all these different platforms and networks. I believe that they are just playing, you know, the manipulation game on the American people. But, you know, this deal was terrible for America. We were going, you know, we're the biggest industrial nation on the planet, and we also have, you know, the fewest carbon emissions, more so than any other developed country right now, of this size. And we reduce those emissions without these international deals and treaties. In the past, if people think that's such a big issue, you know, we don't need an international treaty to change things that we do. But this was going to be a terrible deal for America because we were going to have to do or accept the brunt of the changes, and it was going to be costing us the most money at the same time, while nations like China and others would not even have to start reducing their emissions till 2030. So the lie that this somehow is going to create some kind of climate change is just insane.
Well, it's a pseudo industry, and two things, Joe. One is, I recall the video from Obama's 2008 presidential campaign where he said, quote, "Under my plan, a cap and trade plan, utility rates will necessarily skyrocket." And that's the idea of just taking this country down. It's brick by brick. And then I want to go back to the Kyoto Protocols in 1997 that really kicked all this off. And it shows the complete lack of scientific regard for facts. They partied for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they didn't imitate the Lord and finish their creation. They said, well, we got to come up with something. What are we going to say? And they voted on whether or not man was the cause of global warming. They didn't call it climate change then. And that was really interesting, that we're letting science be determined by a popular vote. Heck, Joe, when I was teaching intro to sociology for a while, and we would do the climate change initiatives, and I would never tip my hand and have my students know what I was thinking. So I gave them a couple of questions to answer. Number one, how much does man contribute to this problem? Answer, universally, for years, 3.4 to 3.9%. Number two, if we shut all energy down, how much could we mitigate the problem? Answer, about 0.1%. It's a fool's errand from a scientific point of view. So, Joe, it's like it doesn't matter what we do. I don't believe there's a problem. I think this is all mostly natural. But, Joe, yeah, even if we could affect a change, it's not enough of a change to make any difference.
No, you're exactly right. And, I had a chance to listen to Michael Savage yesterday, and he made the point that Obama said when talking about this Paris Accord in 2015, that, and multiple times over his presidency, that the science behind man-made climate change was a done deal. And Michael Savage made the point that no time in history, in any scientific discipline, has the science ever been case closed in a settled argument. And then he went on to cite examples. You know, imagine if Einstein never, if you only had what Da Vinci did and not what Einstein did, because they said it was a, you know, case closed type situation. And we know, you know, just from the reports that have come out from our own government, that NOAA and a number of scientists, you know, cooked the books. They manipulated the data many times over to make it appear as though the warming trends were much warmer. They couldn't account for a 14-year cooling period. And if you just look at the history of the Earth, the scientifically accepted history of the Earth, there have been many changes, you know, from hot periods to ice ages even. You know, this globe is still, I think the last ice age that the scientists said they recorded was, you know, 7 to 10,000 years ago. So we know that it's not, there was no industrialized nations then. So, you know, what was going on with the climate there? Then we have people like Standeo who talk about it's not just the, you know, the Earth that is seeing changes. It is the solar system, because the changes stem from the sun, the energy from the sun. And no man, obviously, can change the climate or change the way that the sun affects Earth. We see them trying to do this with chemtrails, with these metallic particles that, you know, from cloud seeding to chemtrails, which try to reflect some of the sunlight back into outer space. But yeah, as you said, that there's no amount of, you know, I forget the statistics, but one major volcano eruption releases more CO2 than I think all humanity can do in I forget how many years, if it's 10 years, 50 years, or 100 years.
In all of industrialized history. That's what I've read. All of industrialized history. You're right. You're absolutely right. Here's one more thing I had students investigate. Now, the analogy is not perfect, but you'll get the idea. There's too many of us little boogers running around the planet. This is why we got to depopulate. One-child policies are good, and so forth. So I said, give them a problem. How many square feet in Texas? Okay, so we'll get that. And then I said, now, to give every person on the planet an average of 1,000 square feet of living space, which is the average for America, how many people could you fit into Texas? Answer, the entire planet. Now, obviously, it would be a little crowded, and you wouldn't want to do that, and you got rivers and mountains and so forth. But, Joe, the point is, they've lied about this at every step of the way, about every single thing.
And I got one better for you. I heard this one, and I'm going to have to refresh my memory on this, but this was a kind of what you just, an example you gave about overpopulate, the myth of overpopulation. And somebody did a study, you know, not giving everybody the 1,000 square feet, but just being everybody being able to stand next to each other. And you could fit every human on Earth in the city of Jacksonville. Jacksonville is the biggest city in the United States per square mile. And you could fit everybody side by side in the area which the city of Jacksonville lays. Now, and as you said, spread them out over 1,000 square feet each, and you can put them in Texas. It is crazy. I mean, Dave, how many times have you flown across the United States, and how much of that land is just, you know, is just that, you know, untouched land? Then you have the farms and the fields and whatnot, but it's just a, you know, you have an overcrowding of cities, and that's what where the problem is. It's not an overpopulated world. It's an overregulated world, that's for sure. You know, when the land is not accessible for people to use, and even our government has been guilty of this over the last few decades, over the last century, which is, you know, buying up private lands just basically taking them under eminent domain and putting them as, you know, government lands. And we've seen this, and there's so much land that was taken under the Obama administration. And, you know, if these people were to manage their land better, you know, we could have a much more productive country. You know, you want to get into, I know we don't have time tonight, but get into solving the problem, you know, some of the homelessness problems and the starvation problems. Why not create farms and, you know, let people live there to rehabilitate their life and work, and it would create jobs, it would create food, it would create stability with you know, a number of the more disfortunate in the population. And I mean, that's just one simple way of looking at it. But yes, we are the problems are sold to us in a way where they want us to change everything, while these people, you know, who continue to steal all the wealth from us, continue to grow more fat and happy and gain more control. And just a good example of this is what, you know, Theresa May, a lot of people thought she was going to be really tough on terrorism, and I don't know what's been going on with her, but in response to this latest London attack yesterday, she's saying we now have to control the internet, have much more controls on the internet because of the extremist content and the terrorist content that is allowed to fester on the internet. We need to, you know, complete control of the internet, she's saying.
So our shows would be collateral damage. I get it. I see where they're going. Interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Because,
you know, it wouldn't be actual terrorist content or the terrorist sympathizing content that's taken down. It would be the people who are critical of the government's positions and policies and even support of these terrorist organizations.
You know, one of the biggest things I object to with these people, I went to the rollout meeting. I was invited to, God knows why they didn't invite me, but I went to the rollout meeting for Arizona State University and their programs, undergrad and graduate programs in sustainability. I thought, well, this is going to be interesting here. Let's see how many lies I'm going to hear in the course of 2 hours. I heard the usual cascade of lies. the ice is melting. And they failed to tell you that the Earth is going through a slight pole shift and true north is reforming elsewhere and new ice is added. But they ignored that. But the biggest thing, Joe, they said was, in your classes, you need to stop teaching American children about American exemplarance. Look how much evil we have done in the world, blah, 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 blah. And then we wonder why we get places like Evergreen State College, white professors don't come here for this day, and it's and then Texas A&M professor, that Curry fella, where he said whites are going to have to die to achieve equality, killing whites is good. I'm embarrassed to say I've been involved in post-secondary education because it's across the board so bad. Now, institutions that I've been a part of have largely been unaffected by this. But, Joe, it's endemic across the nation that the universities have adopted an anti-Christian, anti-American, anti-middle class, anti-white, anti-male, anti-heterosexual agenda.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, you mentioned Evergreen College, and a lot of people have not, don't even know what that college is, and I was one of those until this last week. Apparently, it's a very liberal arts type of college, and there was a professor, the college or somebody inside the college called for whites to remove themselves from the college for a day, and a professor spoke out against them. Saying, you know, this is basically segregation, this is racism. I don't know exactly what he said. He went on Hannity or Tucker Carlson on Fox News. But yeah, they basically kidnapped not only him, but the head staff of the college, barricading them in a room until all their demands were met. And what's interesting about this is the police were the ones telling the professors, well, don't even come in because we can't protect you. But we see this, this type of atmosphere, for some reason, being allowed to fester in the college, in the universities, even Harvard, and, you know, some of the top Ivy League schools, all the way to Berkeley, the most left-leaning, to even in the University of Michigan, we saw some of this social justice warrior political correctness. And the college should be a place of open ideas and the free flow of information. And, you know, I don't think any idea should be just shouted down unless you're, you know, calling for the death of people or threatening people. But to only allow one side, especially when this is the, you know, the party of tolerance, this is the movement of being open and tolerant to all ideas. This is how we, you know, they were allowed to get their foot in the door with their side of the argument was, well, you have to be tolerant. We have to be tolerant of each other's beliefs and you know, we don't have to agree, but we should all be allowed to do and say exactly what we feel. But now that they seem to have this stranglehold with the media's help, and, you know, a lot of these terrible politicians' help and backing, now that they have, you know, the ear of the media, there's no time to be tolerant. Everybody else's beliefs and opinion are racist and Nazi and hateful and, you know, xenophobic and whatever else they can come up with. So it is, you know, these people, they're not helping these kids any, these universities, by allowing this atmosphere to fester and continue, because these young adults are going to be in for a rude awakening when they get into the real world and they start crying for a safe space in their employment because somebody offended them by saying something to them or about somebody else. They're going to look for their safe space and they're going to be laughed out of their job and fired. So these people are not being done any favors by these universities allowing this to continue. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe they want society to be so.
I think we're going to see sweeping changes in the workplace where they'll get exactly that.
I can't see how this could be continued. I mean, I could see maybe in a few government jobs and maybe some of the bigger tech industries. But, you know, this country's run by small businesses. And I don't know any companies that I've ever worked for or have friends who work for or own that would ever allow anything like this to continue. Not where they are trying to run their businesses.
I wish we had time to debate this, Joe. Doggone it. We finally found something we could stick our teeth into on the opposite ends of the argument here, because I think we're going to see some of it. You know, I don't think we'll see it. Defense contractors, they got to make their money, but I think we're going to see more and more of this insane, quote, tolerance pushed upon us. Well, we're just about out of time, and I wanted to give you a couple of minutes to talk about is your dad's book, and every time you come on, I ask you about it because I think it's a good read, and it's something that people should make a part of their library. Stained by Blood. Tell people what it's about and how they can get it.
Yeah, Stained by Blood is it's a story that my father has written, and he also lived. It's about a murder investigation of a family member, his uncle, and his journey as a private investigator after the case went cold from the police perspective. His journey as a private investigator, helping out his family, finding the killer, and it leads down some very interesting and dark paths. And folks, if you want to, there's a video trailer that you can watch, and also read the what the book is about, and getting more information on it. StainedByBlood.com. That's StainedByBlood.com. Again, there's the video trailer there, as well as the breakdown of the book. And you can order it from StainedByBlood.com, HagmanReport.com, or on Amazon. And I also want to give a plug to my dad's site that he has been revamping, HomelandSecurityUS.com. Many people remember the Northeast Intelligence Network, HomelandSecurityUS.com, that my father started after 9/11. Well, he's done revamping that. So we have HagmanReport.com and HomelandSecurityUS.com.
Very good. And also they can order, because I've got a link into the ordering location from the commonsenseshow.com in the right-hand column. Joe, real quickly here before we go, wanted to know how you guys are doing with YouTube. I know it's kind of universal, but I want to say one thing. I've been getting some AARP ads, thank you very much, getting occasional ads from YouTube, not a whole lot, but some car dealerships and so forth. Wait a minute. These were the people that were boycotting. I've come to the conclusion the boycott is fake. It's not about boycotting. It's simply about censorship. What do you think?
Well, the YouTube has not gotten any better for us. We continue to see basically nothing being generated revenue-wise. I haven't seen any ads on. I don't go back and watch every video because we segment the shows now. But I haven't seen any ads on our videos. Only when I tune into them live will I see. Sometimes there will be an ad at the beginning of the live show or whenever I jump in. But the revenue has been, you know, wiped out. And I don't have hopes for it to come back. So that's where we're at.
Interesting. I'm going to cover this. We need to cover this in our hour next week. But Joe, thanks a lot for joining us. Wish you better good luck with the YouTube, and all the best to your mom. I know we're praying for her. And Joe, really interesting material tonight. Thanks for your contribution to what I now dub the Hagman and Hodges News Hour. Joe, keep up the good work.
Thanks, Dave. You have a good night.
All right. We'll be back in hour number two with my friend, Dr. Ted Brewer.